today is found in the book called Genesis, the 29th, the 30th, up into the 32nd chapter. We left off speaking to you last week where Jacob loved Rachel and where he made a deal with Laban that he would serve Laban 7 years for Rachel. And the 7 years, they went by so quickly because he loved this woman and desired to have this woman. We spoke to you on the lines of what a wonderful thing love is, even natural love as we see in Jacob, and also when God sheds his love abroad in our hearts, what a wonderful service it is to be in the service of God and to find it to be a service of love. We spoke to you likewise about the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world, a love that no one can understand, which surpasses all love of human beings. And now Jacob, it was time for him to have his wife given unto him. And he spake unto Laban and said, give me my wife, for I have fulfilled the 7 years of service that thou also made an agreement with me with. And therefore Laban made a great feast. This was then to be a marriage feast. And we find that he gathered all the people together and they had a wedding ceremony. And now the peculiar instance of this ceremony in the East led that Jacob was deceived. He was beguiled by Laban. For usually the bride is covered with a veil, and the person that is to marry this woman does not see her. And therefore, when he was supposed to have given Rachel unto Jacob, he gave Leah unto Jacob. And Jacob knew it not until the next morning. And then he came to Laban and said unto him, why hast thou beguiled me? And thou hast given me Leah and not Rachel. Laban said, it should not be so done in our country, for we usually give the firstborn first. Therefore he said unto him, fulfill her week, and we will give thee Rachel also. And we have here then an instance that Jacob, he had a woman that he had no intentions of having. And that this father, Laban, pushed this woman upon him is something peculiar likewise. For it brought Jacob into the sin of polygamy. His father had only one wife, Rebekah. And we may be sure that Jacob had all intentions of just having Rachel as his wife. But we find Laban, he beguiled him and deceived him in this way, and therefore Jacob, loving Rachel, he agreed to serve another 7 years for her. And therefore he had to work for Laban these years, but after the end of 1 week, he also received Rachel as his wife. We have here then an instance of this man having two wives immediately. And now we find that he loved Rachel, but God shut up the womb of Rachel and she had no children. Leah, she bore Jacob 6 sons. 2 sons were born to the handmaidens of Rachel and Leah, and 2 were born to Rachel herself, which made a total of 12 sons, and 1 daughter by the name of Dinah was born to Leah. So Jacob, he had a family of 12 sons and 1 daughter as it progressed. And we find that he served Laban these 7 years for Rachel. And at the end of 7 years, he wanted to go back to his father's country and to his father's house. But now God had blessed this man Laban very abundantly. He had so what little when Jacob came there of nothing, but now when Jacob asked him to return to his father's house, he said unto him, I have seen that God has blessed me because you have been with me. And now he didn't want to lose Jacob. He wanted to keep Jacob with him. And therefore Jacob made a bargain with him, and said to him, If thou wilt give me all the ring-streaked and speckled cattle, and then I will again take care of thy flocks and feed them for thee. And now, of course, Laban, he was stingy. He didn't want to give these things, but to keep Jacob with him, he had to do this. So he gave unto Jacob then of these ring-streaked and speckled and brown cattle amongst the flocks that he had, and he separated them 3 days' journey from his other flocks, the flocks that Jacob had to take care of. And now these flocks that he separated, they were under the care of his other sons. They were not under the care of Jacob, but he separated them in this way. And now we find that God goes ahead and blesses Jacob according to the promise that he had given unto him, and he said, I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. And while he's with Jacob, with Laban, we find that God changes the wages of Jacob 10 times. Each time Laban, he wanted it changed. When God gave that these cattle brought forth young, they were all speckled, and they were ring-streaked, and they were brown. Naturally, they were all Jacob's. And Laban says, let's change this. Let me have the ring-streaked and the speckled and the brown, and you have them without any spots. And now when the cattle were again given to bring forth young, why, then they were all without any ring-streaked or spots. They were all solid colors, and therefore they all went to Jacob. Each time he changed it, Laban, 10 times, and each time God seen to it that Jacob had all the cattle. And now, of course, this wasn't very good to Laban. He became angry, and his face wasn't as it was always to Jacob. So Jacob, seeing that Laban was this way towards him, he feared that probably Laban had sent him away alone, keep his wives and all the cattle too. But now God had given unto Jacob these cattle. He had received them legitimately. God had revealed unto him in a dream just what was taking place with the cattle, and he showed unto him that he was the cause that Jacob had all these cattle. And now God appeared unto Jacob and told him that he should arise and that he should return back to his own land and to his own kindred, and that God would be with him and do well with him. Jacob, after this appearance of the Lord to him, called his wives to the field and told them what God had said unto him, and that he was going to go back to his father's house and to his country and kindred. And now these women, they said, well, what have we if we stay here? You have all the cattle of our father, and our father has nothing to give unto us if we remain here. So they consented to go with him. And therefore Jacob arose, and he did not tell Laban, he left. And he was gone for 3 days already before Laban was notified that Jacob had went away, had stolen away, without notifying him that he was going. And therefore Laban, he gathered all his brethren together, and he pursued after Jacob. 6 days he pursued after him, and then he caught up with him in Mount Gilead. But the night that he was to catch Jacob, that very night, God came to Laban in a dream and showed unto him that he should do nothing unto Jacob, that he should not speak good or evil to him, that he should not try to do what he had purpose to do, for he had it in his mind to take everything away from Jacob and send him away empty, probably kill him. But now God forbid him to do anything that would hurt Jacob. And therefore the next day when he came to him, then he said unto Jacob, why did you flee away this way? Why didn't you tell me and let me know that you were going to go back? And I could have made a feast for you, and then I could have kissed my sons and my daughters, but you have stolen away as a thief, and it was in my power to do you hurt, he says. But the God of your fathers appeared unto me last night in a dream and told me that I should not speak evil or good to you. He had to admit that God had a hold of him and that he couldn't do what he wanted to do. And now Jacob, of course, he knew that this was only a lie because his face had been so angry towards Jacob, and therefore Jacob had fled away this way. But he put it in a way as if he wanted to have a feast and everything and make it good, but it was not so. And now we find that Laban, he said, I know that you sore longed to go home to your father's house, but he says, why have ye stolen my gods? Well, Jacob says, search and examine and see, and whoever has these gods with them, they shall be killed. I haven't taken anything of yours, he says. You can search through everything that I have, he says. There isn't a particle of your household goods or anything that you think that I've stolen amongst it. So we find Laban going through the tents looking for his gods. What these gods were, the commentary don't give us any information. They were something that were valuable to Laban and that he didn't want to part with. Probably something that he used in the worship. And therefore, he missed these things. Rachel had taken them with him, with her. And now when he went into the tent of Jacob, he did not find them. He went into the tent of Leah, and he found them not. He went into the tents of the other maids, but no, they weren't there. And when he went into the tent of Rachel, where she was sitting on the camel's furniture, and she had him underneath her, and she gave that excuse that it was so with her, and that she couldn't get up for him. He searched the tent and he didn't find him. And then Jacob began to accuse Laban. Why did you pursue so hotly after me? Why, bring out now those things that you say that I've stolen. Testify before my brethren and your brethren. But there wasn't anything. Jacob had been honest in his dealings with Laban, but Laban had not been. And therefore, after this controversy, we find that Jacob and Laban entered into a covenant, and they agreed that they wouldn't come past this heap of stones that they raised up. And Laban, the next morning, he left and went back to his place, and Jacob, he continued on his way. We see how God was with Jacob, how he protected him, how he fulfilled his promise that he would be with him and he would keep him whithersoever he went, and that he would not leave him until he had fulfilled the words that he had spoken unto him. And now the next thing we read is Jacob, he continued on his way, and we read, and there came a host of angels which met Jacob. Now whether these angels were visible to him, or whether it was in a dream, as he had seen the angels going up the ladder at Bethel, is a question. But angels met him, and he gave the name of that place Mahanaim, meaning two hosts. There were then two hosts of angels that met Jacob. They say that angels had attended him invisibly all the while that he had been with Laban. And now they appeared unto him, a host in the back and a host in the front. The angels in the back to protect him from Laban, and a host in the front to protect him from Esau. And we have in this that Jacob was well protected by God. And now, it is said many times that every one of God's dear children have angels, a guardian angel that protects them. And we can prove out of Scripture that when Lazarus died, we find that angels conveyed him into the bosom of Abraham. we have Jacob entering into the land of Canaan. Now when the children of God are going to enter into that heavenly Canaan, then angels will convey their souls to glory above. Angels are those beings that surround the throne of God, and those beings are celestial beings, wonderful and glorified beings. And now Jacob, he continues on his way, and he sends messengers to Esau in the land of Edom and Mount Seir, telling Esau that he was coming back to his father's house, and that he wasn't coming back as a prodigal, he wasn't coming back as a pauper. He had everything that was necessary, and he had been abundantly blessed by God. He sent these messengers to Esau, notifying him that he was coming back to his father's house. And now when these messengers came to Esau and told him that Jacob was coming, they spake to him how that Jacob had sojourned 20 years with Laban, and how that he had been richly blessed, and that he was coming back to visit his father. Esau immediately arose. Immediately the anger that he had against his brother flew into a flame. He gathered 400 men together with him, and he was going out to settle the old score. His brother Jacob was not going to get to his father. He was going to prevent that, because if he got to his father would mediate between them, and then it would be peace. Now Jacob took 400 men, a type of men the same as he was, hunters, and they were under the command of Esau. And therefore Esau, he takes these 400 men to go forth to kill Jacob. The messengers bring the message back to Jacob. And when Jacob heard the words of these messengers, Jacob was greatly afraid and greatly distressed. Jacob immediately begins to separate his flocks and his herds. He separated them into two bands. And he said, if Esau come and he smite the first, then the second has a chance to escape. Jacob, he did not gather his people together to fight against Esau. He knew that was useless. He put himself on the defensive. And he thought, if he comes now, then they have a chance to escape. Jacob then, he puts these two bands apart from each other. And we find that Jacob, in his fear and in his distress, commences to pray unto God. And he says, O God of Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, and the Lord that commanded me to leave this country and to return to my father's house and kindred, oh, deliver me out of the hand of Esau, my brother, for I fear him, unless he kill me and the mother and the children. For thou hast said unto me that thou wilt surely do well unto me, that thou hast promised that thou would make of me a great nation. I am unworthy, he says, of the least of thy mercies and of all the truth that thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff, he says, I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. We find then Jacob praying unto God, beseeching God to be his protector, his helper. He brings before God what God had promised unto him. Oh, what a blessed place was Jacob in at this present time, my hearers. And when we are in distress, when we have so many fears, what a mercy if we can go to God with them. Jacob was in the way that God had told him to go. He wasn't out of the way. God had told him to go this way. Trouble had been met with already by Laban, and now trouble was in the front of him again. You may be in the right way, my hearer. God may have said, this is the way, walk therein, and trouble may meet you time and again. And now it was the time of Jacob's trouble, but Jacob would be delivered out of it. And Jacob has recourse to God in prayer, and he begins to pray, and he says, I am unworthy the least of all the mercies and of all the truths that thou hast shown unto thy servant. He remembers when he went across that river, he only had a staff in his hand, and now he was coming back, and he had two bands. God had richly blessed Jacob. He had wives, he had children, he had men servants and maid servants, and he had flocks, and God had supplied everything that was needful for him. And how deeply humbled was Jacob. Oh, when he thought how he went over that Jordan, he only had a staff in his hand. And now he was coming back, and all he had been so blessed by God. Have you ever had something like that, my hearers? Have you ever been brought into your unworthiness? Have you ever been given to see what you deserve, what you merit? You, a sinner, a creature who deserves not even bread or water to eat, and God has richly blessed you. Haven't you ever had a time when you were filled with fear, filled with distress, and you approached this great God in heaven above and pleaded with him in your emergency that he would help you? And did he not help you? Has he not helped you in the past? And won't he help you in the future? He's the same God, the unchangeable God. Oh, what a blessed place to be, my hearers. When you consider how richly God has blessed you, providentially, with all the necessities of life, he has given you everything you need. And what have you given him in return? When this comes home to a person, he is deeply humbled and deeply abased before God. There isn't a more blessed place to be, let me say this, than to be placed in your unworthiness. To have eyes to see what God has done and eyes to see what you have done. Oh, how broken and humbled is such a person. I'm only speaking even providentially. Many times afflictions come upon us. Many times we are in troubles, and God is pleased to deliver us out of them. Look back in your life. Haven't you had it? Haven't you got something to say then and then, God help me when I was in distress? And how have you rewarded him since then? All my hearers, it may be that at this present time you are being blessed prosperously by God. You have everything you need. There was a time maybe when you had nothing, a time of depression, when you probably were on relief and you didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. And now God has so richly blessed you. And I'll bring it a step further. There may be some listening to me that can look back and say, there was a time when I didn't even think about God. I never had him on my mind. I just wanted to live for this world. I just wanted to live in sin. But that God, he came to me. Oh, he was gracious unto my soul. He came and he revealed his love unto me. Such a creature like me, who don't deserve any merit or any favor on his part. Oh, I deserve nothing else but hell. But he was gracious unto my soul. Oh, how deeply humbled is such a person when he is given to believe it, if it but be for a few moments. Jacob, his eyes went open for the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God over him in all the 20 years that he had went through. That God had been true to him. Oh, when God leads us back and gives us to see how faithful he has been, oh, there isn't a more blessed place to be in. And now Jacob is praying to this God and asking him and reminding him of the words that he had spoken unto him. He as much as said, "Now, Lord, listen, if Esau comes and he kills me and he kills all the women and all the children, what's going to become of the promise that you gave me? You told me that you're going to make a great nation of me and that nations would come forth out of me. And now if I'm killed and all the wives and all the children are, what shall happen to your promise? Oh, what a mercy if you have a promise to plead upon." And now we find that Jacob, he returns to his wives and to his children, and he begins to separate a certain amount of his flocks to give them to Esau as a present. If you look in the Bible, he gave about 550 cattle. 200 of this kind, 200 of another kind, 20 of this kind, and 20 of that kind. I totaled it up, was about 550 cattle. And he made droves out of them. And he put men in the front of them. And he says, "Now, if you meet Esau, you tell him that this is a present from Jacob to him. And that Jacob is behind him." Jacob then, he's going to appease Esau with this present. He thinks, maybe Esau will receive me graciously if I give him a present. And after he had done this, we find that he sends them over the ford Jabbok. And he remains alone. We may believe that Jacob returned to praying. He had been praying to God. He knew God had to keep him. He knew God had to protect him. So we find Jacob returning to prayer. And as Jacob is praying, there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of day. That this man was nothing else but the God-man, Jesus Christ. Whether this was a bodily combat or whether it was a spiritual combat is a controversy. But Jacob speaks of the angel that redeemed me. And you read in Hosea that he had power with the angel and prevailed. Now this angel then descended and wrestled with Jacob. Oh, my hearers, how different it is if you and I go alone and we want to wrestle with God. There's no wrestling taking place if you and I want to do it. But when this God-man comes down and begins to wrestle in us, then we are given a hold on this person. And this is what Jacob obtained. And he was wrestling then in faith, for the Lord gave him faith. And he had such a hold on the Lord that he would not let him go. And this angel spake unto him and said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." He said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Jacob, he needed a blessing. What was the blessing that you think Jacob needed? Did he want to be delivered out of the hand of Esau? Was that what he was pleading for? I think not. I think he had a certain amount of intimation of God that God was going to deliver him out of the hand of Esau. But now he had such a hold on God that he would not let him go till he blessed him. Why, here was Jacob. He had the fear of death. Esau was coming with 400 men. And now Jacob, he had a soul that was not yet saved. He was not yet redeemed, my hearers. He had not yet the blessed assurance of his salvation. He had a battle, but 20 years had gone in between that time, and he had God appearing unto him and speaking to him. But now, at this critical time, when Esau was coming, when he thought that probably he will kill me, then what will become of my immortal soul? Well, how shall I ever appear before this God? And Jacob, he had such a hold upon him by faith that he would not let him go. My hearers, is this just one instance in the life of one of these patriarchs that this happened? Doesn't this happen even to this day to many of God's dear children? Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever been in distress? Have you ever been brought into the depths where you have thought everything that you experienced was wrong? That you thought it was a lost matter with you? That it was no use of going on anymore with the profession of religion? So many things come up against it. And in your fear and in your anxiety, you began to pray that if it wasn't true, wouldn't God make it true? And where you had not Jesus yet as your Savior, as your Redeemer, oh, you were so concerned. And as you were praying, you found that you were endued with power from on high. Oh, you couldn't let God go. No, you wrestled with God. It was God wrestling in you. You wrestled with him, and you would not leave him go until he had blessed you. And let me ask you, didn't he bless you? Didn't he give you a word of comfort? Didn't he speak to your heart words that just fitted for what you were in? Or hasn't he brought you up out of all your fears and out of all your doubts? And didn't he give you to believe that the good work was begun in you? Didn't he take all the questions that you had before him away? Oh, what a blessing it is, my hearers, when we are given by the Spirit of God to wrestle and to prevail and to receive a blessing. And now Jacob, he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. How many souls here listening to me have made that resolution? Have you ever made that resolution? I will not let you go except you bless me. What are you looking for? What kind of a blessing are you seeking after? Oh, my hearers, there are so many blessings that God's dear people want. And they want the Lord to grant them these blessings because he only can give them the desires of their heart. What do they want? They want a sure, a plain, and a clear sign that they are on the right way. Then they want another thing, and that is that he would reveal their interest in the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his dear Son, that they may be given to believe that he came into the world for them, that he loved them. Or they are seeking blessings at his throne. And now, there may be some soul listening to me that says, well, I've been seeking, but I haven't found anything. Oh, I fear that I'm not seeking the right way. All my hearers, how many times God's dear children are thinking that it's all their own work. They think they began it, and they think they continue it, and they think, well, what will become of it? But all they have at times been given a broken heart, a contrite spirit. They've been given to be truth before God. And isn't that a blessing? Oh, an exceptional blessing, my hearers. Oh, do not discard the day of small things. They aren't small. Ask these people that have never had something like that. They don't know what it is. And if you have had it, then you want it again and again. You want the Lord to come and soften your heart and melt it into contrition. Such a small blessing and still so great, you are unable to do it yourself. And Jacob, he would not let him go. He had such a hold on him. And now the Lord spake unto Jacob and said unto him, what is thy name? And he says, my name is Jacob. He says, your name shall no more be Jacob, but it shall be called Israel, because as a prince thou hast had power with God and hast prevailed. He was then given at this time such a wonderful blessing. He was given to believe that that God was now his God. For he says, I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. He then was given to believe that all his sins were forgiven, and that the Lord Jesus Christ in due time would come and lay down his life for his soul. Oh, Jacob, he was given then of this blessing of having a new name given unto him. He was given that white stone of pardon and a new name thereon, that no one can receive but those whom God does give it to. Jacob then, when he had been delivered and been set into liberty, then Jacob was lifted up unto the throne of God in his feelings. And he was given to say, this place, I will call it Peniel, meaning a vision of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. Jacob then, he was encouraged here. Come what may, even if Esau come with 400 men and kill him, and take away the lives of his wives, his soul was safe, his sins were forgiven. He could then go forward and meet Esau. In this respect, he had been so strengthened from above that he had no fear anymore. And we find it in the next chapter, Esau is coming to Jacob with 400 men. And Jacob, he had sent these droves ahead of him, and when they came, they met Esau. And now we find where Jacob thought that Esau would come and destroy him and his children and his wives. When Esau came, he bowed down 7 times to the ground before his brother. And Esau, he came and he ran and he fell on his neck. And he kissed him. What a different meeting this was for Jacob than what he expected. He expected to be killed. He expected that everything would be taken from him. And his brother came and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, this was a token of everything being forgiven on the part of Esau, that he had nothing against Jacob anymore. How wonderfully did God work in this man Esau. Again was fulfilled, I will be with thee, and I will keep thee. He kept him here even, against the wrath and against the anger of Esau, who would have probably slain him had not God changed his mind and given him to come to him in this way. This coming of Esau and Jacob being kissed by him is a type of a poor sinner coming unto God. Just as Jacob, filled with fear, filled with those anxieties and distresses that he was going to be killed, that he was going to be destroyed, so a sinner comes to God, my hearers. And in place of being destroyed, we find as in the prodigal son, the father runs out to meet him and kisses him, and all is forgiven. What a blessed meeting this was between Esau and Jacob. Our time is gone. We will pick up the lesson again next week, the Lord willing, at this point. The Lord bless the feeble instruction that we have tried to give out of this lesson. That's all for today.